This episode of the Infamous Podcast is brought to you by the Flying Pork Apparel Company.
The Flying Pork Apparel Company is an awfully long name to fit into a 15-second ad. We're most likely going to have to cut it short, but our designer tees and customer services are like way long on quality. Visit flyingporkapparel.com and shirt yourself, folks. Thank you.
Hey, welcome back to the Infamous Podcast. This is episode 179. I'm Brian.
This is Johnny.
Are you going faster, higher, further? Wait, did I get that right?
I've been doing that for years.
All right. Hey, we are talking about...
And not because I'm a man, just because.
You're a mad man.
I've been going higher, further, and faster for years.
All right. We're talking about Captain Marvel today, right? Yeah.
Carol Danvers.
The latest release to the MCU, the feature film that just came out last week, directed by Anna Boden and Ryan Fleck. So, I'm
by
always
the time
interested
that
in these.
You listen to this, the movie will have been out for 2 weeks,
and it'll have made $1 billion.
It will have made its money back.
So, all right, so opening weekend. Let's just talk money real quick. $153 million domestic, $455 million worldwide. Opened everywhere but Japan.
Okay.
So it did about $89 million in China.
Mm-hmm.
I think this movie will... I hope this movie does really good in China. The Marvel movies typically do. I'm afraid it's going to cap out at like 120. So we'll see.
I don't know how the Chinese view Marvel movies and American movies.
It just depends, right? Like, yeah. the Transformers movies do killer over there.
Well, yeah, it's giant robots.
Right. And then, like...
They like giant robots.
Like,
giant
Age of Ultron did really good over there because it had the whole thing in Korea and, like, you know, representation and things like that.
Okay.
So, you know, I don't know. It's, like, Black Panther did not do so great. Star Wars doesn't do great in China.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Shocks me, right? Like, The Last Jedi was in the theater for less than 2 weeks over there.
Okay.
And I don't care, like, what people think about The Last Jedi. Like,
I wonder why.
Okay, I don't care what they think about The Last Jedi, because the Transformers movies make hundreds of millions of dollars over there, and none of those are good.
Well, so they just like bad movies.
Yeah, maybe.
They like Age of Ultron and the Transformers movies.
Like, Fast and Furious kills over there.
And the Fast and the Furious movies.
Because who doesn't like Vin Diesel and The Rock?
Oh.
So, all right.
Where you're going to see the separation of that path this year.
Yeah, that it's...
Fast and the Furious presents.
That's really interesting. So they had the preview. Did they have the preview for that before?
Yeah.
So what previews did you get? Do you remember?
Oh, that and... Apocalypse. Not Apocalypse. Dark Phoenix.
Oh, I didn't get Dark Phoenix.
Dark Phoenix was on there. Which there's a... an international trailer for Dark Phoenix that shows a lot more.
Yeah, is it better?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Like, that one made me go, I actually want to see this movie now.
I mean, I'll see it because it's X-Men, but,
well,
you know,
I'll see it because, you know,
you
I go
everything.
Higher, further, faster.
Faster.
Yeah. With my lightning
so the
bird
only,
wing.
The only thing I remember really about the previews was that they did not show Shazam. And the guy...
They did show Shazam on mine.
So the guy sitting, like, a couple seats away was, like, telling his kid, like, yeah, they're going to show Shazam. And he was, like, the first Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
And then they didn't show Shazam, and he was mad.
Did.
He was
they
really
did, and
mad.
I was like, I leaned over and went, hey, look, it's a Captain Marvel movie in front of a Captain Marvel movie.
Exactly. So, all right, so real quick, Carol Danvers was introduced in 1968, right?
When
Marvel showed up.
Right.
She did not show up again as a powered being until 1976.
Mm-hmm.
So
as
9 years.
Marvel.
As Miss Marvel. So, like, I was listening to another podcast, and they were talking about how this character has been around for 70 years. And it's like,
No.
She's a relatively new character. Yeah. I mean, it's not, like, new like the 90s, but...
Late
60s. You know.
So she's... Like, in the second decade of Marvel, pretty much.
Yeah.
Like, Marvel, late 60s. So, she was late 60s, early 70s. didn't show back up until mid 70s.
But she was only in, mid 70s.
She was
70s,
only in like the first or second issue, wasn't she?
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what I'm saying.
I'm not a big.
So I went and I did the research.
I'm not a big Carol Danvers Captain Marvel fan.
Right.
I'm Jenis Vell, which would be Mar-Vell's son.
Right.
And I enjoyed Mar-Vell toward the end of his life.
Right. And there was another Captain Marvel, a black lady, who was.
That's Monica Rambeau, who's in the movie. Yeah.
So real quick about Monica Rambeau or what's the actress?
So she's the little
Lashana Lynch.
She's the little girl.
Oh, wait.
Monica's the little girl.
Oh, Maria. Sorry. Maria
is her mother.
Lashana Lynch, right?
Yeah.
I kind of wish she was Captain Marvel. Like, she was awesome in this movie. I loved her. She was my favorite part. Like, she had not a ton of screen time.
I don't think I had a favorite part in this movie.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's get to this. Did you like this movie?
I was entertained.
Are you a troll? Do you hate women?
No.
I know, I'm teasing you.
No, I love women.
I know you do. So much to Elvis' chagrin, how much you love women.
Most of my bosses in life have been women.
Yeah, so I've only had two male bosses in my whole life.
I like to say that.
And I've hated them both.
I'm flirty, but I respect women.
Yeah.
Like, I'll flirt with women.
Sure.
But they know I'm not, like...
Yeah, and when they tell you to stop, you sulk and
never,
go away and
I've
cry
never
a little
had a
bit
problem
and,
with, like...
No, I know, I'm teasing.
...women who act weird getting away from them.
Right. So...
Well, it's not... So there's a difference from a male point of view.
Mm-hmm.
There are women who you can joke with about things, and they can joke back, and they don't take it anyway, like any toxicity to it at all.
Right.
I've had those friends because I've had a lot of friends like that. Then there's the women who, you know, they understand who I am because they've been around me for a couple of years or whatever.
Yeah.
And you know when you can joke and when you can't.
Right. And who you can joke with and who
right,
you can't.
Right. And who you can't. And then there's the ones where they scare me, but not scare me like I'm afraid of them.
Sure.
They scare me like they're toxic. So it's like you don't even talk to them really.
Right.
Like, these are people that I work with. This is just by, you know, being at the job I've been at for 13 plus years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Just the observations that I've made of those women. But I've had, I want to say, two male managers.
Yeah.
Three male managers in my life. And I respected all three of them because they were good managers. I've had 7 or 8 female managers in my life, and there's only one I could say I dislike because she actually had an agenda against men.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
So there, you know.
Cool.
There was no reason for me to go into this movie either hating or liking women.
Right.
This is a Marvel movie.
See, I'm all for.
This is a popcorn movie.
Yeah, this is definitely a popcorn movie, but
the
trolls
are
having.
Stupid.
Yeah, I'm all for
I'll go with it right now.
Lead women.
The trolls who are trying to bomb Rotten Tomatoes. Get
Stop
a life.
It. Stop
get
it.
Get a life.
Yeah.
Turn the bots off. Go outside. Maybe you'll actually find a girl who likes you. You know?
Maybe. That's the problem. You know? So they're not desirable
when sometimes
in any
I think
way,
it's not just men.
Well, no, there's other
I think
women
there's
who hate
other women
and,
who
yeah.
hate women and so. Will be toxic toward them too.
So
and then I think there's people that just want to be saboteurs and throw stuff in the, you know, not being conspiracy theorists, but there's women who will do stuff to make men look bad.
Right. So I only saw this once. You saw it once, right?
Yeah.
So
I won't go see it again.
Well, I went by myself, so I'm going to go see it again with the kid.
Oh, okay.
And the wife.
Does she want
to
see it?
Yeah. They went to that dinosaur thing down at Duke Energy. And
there was a dinosaur thing down at Duke Energy?
Yeah.
I would have went to that instead of this movie.
Yeah, I wanted to see the movie, so.
I seen the movie Friday.
Yeah.
At 4:15, not even close to a full theater.
So I went Sunday at 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
It was half full, but that's in this area, everyone's at church.
It wasn't even close to half full on a Friday at 4 something.
I had fun with this movie. Like you said, it's a popcorn movie. This. Like, you know, we'll put our lists. I have our list now electronically since you shared it in our text chain.
Yeah.
I'll put them
and
up.
And that list changes every
your
year.
Your list changed greatly
because
over
there's,
your last
there's
one.
Movies that at times I'm just like, eh. You know, you're like, yeah, it's okay.
I mean, this is in the bottom
like
half.
Like Ant-Man and
you.
The Wasp has been on Netflix right. for, what, 2 months now? And I haven't watched it.
Now, have you seen it at all?
I did. I went and seen it in the theater. And I got it on Black Friday.
Yeah.
But, I mean, and it's literally sitting in my Vudu queue, too. Yeah. And I have not watched it.
So
I've watched Black Panther, like, 2 times since Ant-Man and Wasp came out.
Interesting.
Yeah. Because Black Panther actually entertains me. Okay. Infinity War entertains me. I mean, Captain Marvel entertained me, but there was things that I was like kind of disappointed in.
So I'm going to start with the things that kind of disappointed me, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So this is the 90s.
Yes.
They distilled the 90s, the you know, the decade of our teenage years. They took and they distilled it. To this little concentrate.
So I was 20 in 1995.
Okay. So I mean, but
yeah.
So part of my
teenage years, and
I mean, my formative years were the 90s. Yeah. Okay. So that's where
that's why I'm more 80s. Yeah. You know, 80s centric.
I'm a flannel shirt of just what I looked like back then, just a little heavier.
So I'm just I look at flannel and I go, no.
I mean, I have a thermal.
I had a flannel jacket, but it was because. Yeah. It was warm.
Yeah, I have a thermal shirt that I wore all day today because, you know, it's what I'm comfortable in. Jeans and sneakers. So South Park did an episode where they found the cure for AIDS.
Okay.
And because Magic Johnson was cured from AIDS and they made a joke about it. And what it was he didn't trust banks, so he slept on his money.
Okay.
And being in close proximity to money. Cures AIDS.
Okay.
So the scientists figure this out. So they go and they take $200,000 cash and distill it into a drop.
Yeah. Okay.
And that's the cure for AIDS. So it's hilarious. They they're like, we found the cure for AIDS, and everybody in Africa is like, yay! And then they're like, it's $200,000 cash just distilled
for
down to a drop, and they're like, oh.
Yeah.
Anyway. I felt like that was their version of the 90s in this.
Oh, like
it was so just superficial, right?
Yeah.
So
you want me to...
Well, they made such a big deal about this being in the 90s.
Would you like me to reply to this?
Yeah, go ahead. Because
here's my problems about the 90s part of this movie. The 90s part of this movie was not really anything. I mean, the city looked like the 2000s version of a city. Right. You threw some flannel in there. You know, why did she tie a flannel jacket around her legs when she had a leather jacket on?
Well, it was a flannel shirt.
Right. Why?
But that's what you did.
Why? Because the model had it on. Yeah. They didn't even show the model.
No.
Like, this movie was chopped up because there's a lot of stuff in the previews that is not in this movie. There is a lot of stuff on Kree that is not in this movie. There's a lot of stuff on Earth that is not in this movie. I didn't like the fact that they had to make the guy who rides up on the motorcycle look like a hardcore asshole male.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Because this movie's about a woman superhero, you know, that is based off of a male superhero. Sorry to say that, but the original Captain Marvel was a male alien from
Billy
another
Batson.
Planet.
Oh, wait, yeah. I said Billy Batson.
No. Billy Batson was Captain Marvel from Fawcett.
I know, I'm kidding. Anyway.
The original Captain Marvel.
Right.
Was a male alien from another planet. Don't be offended by that. I was offended that they made Annette Bening Marvel. That offended me because I'm like, that could have been a man.
So I felt like Jude Law. He was Marvel. I mean, he was everything that relationship had.
Right.
Just his name was Yon Rogg.
Yon Rogg.
What the hell? What kind of name is Yon Rogg?
Yeah. It's anyway, a Kree name.
I get it. But I mean, he was Marvel. He gave
her
the blood transfusion.
Like
he gave her the blood transfusion.
Yeah.
Just like in the comics. You know, he was there when the engine exploded and the power cosmic went into her just like the comics.
It's not the power cosmic.
I know it's not,
it's
but that's
photonic
what they keep
energy
it.
Is what it is.
So, no, I get it.
Cuz that's the name that the Monica Rambeau, Captain Marvel,
right,
eventually becomes Photon.
Right.
That's her name.
When she's binary.
No, binary was Carol Danvers.
Right, no, but no, I'm saying when Carol becomes binary later on,
right,
too.
Yeah.
So,
that's when Janice Vello showed up and was Captain Marvel again.
Yeah.
And they you can't have a bunch of characters named the same character.
No.
You can't do like, oh yeah, like DC does, where they have Captain Marvel, Captain Marvel Jr., Mary Marvel,
yeah,
and all the other Marvels. You couldn't do like Captain Marvel, Lieutenant Marvel, you know.
Private Marvel.
Yeah, you couldn't have done
General
that.
Marvel.
I mean, just there, that's an idea right there. That wouldn't have sounded so stupid if they did it.
Right.
If you would have had like, you know, all those yeah, people who have been Marvel.
The Marvel Corps.
Yeah, the Marvel Corps.
So
would have totally worked. They did it with the Nova Corps.
They did it with Green Lantern.
Yeah. Well, Green Lantern had done it forever.
So I have seen a lot of people talking about the correlation between this and Green Lantern. And it's not
oh,
that different
Green
of
Lantern
a movie.
Movie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not that different of a movie. This has a better ending than what that did.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I feel like this movie actually kind of understood who Carol was more than
they
understood Hal
Jordan.
Oh,
I think that the people who wrote the movie understand that Carol Danvers, Captain
yeah,
Marvel, and that as the modern version, because now, you know, that it's come out at this point. They never talked about it until the movie came out.
Right.
That this story is based off the Kelly Sue DeConnick stuff.
Right.
Why didn't you say that in the first place? Because people were probably going all the way back to the 70s
yeah,
and trying to read that stuff
right,
and understand it. And they didn't have to. They didn't have to.
No, they could.
My complaint
Kelly
about
Sue's
this
run,
movie with the 90s is here's how we feed you the 90s. Every few minutes, we're going to just play a song from the 90s over the scenes.
And they were top 10 songs.
Yeah.
None. There were no deep cuts to this movie. Like,
no.
I'm sorry. Like, the 90s music is my jam.
So
it's what I listen to.
Here's where I'm going
to
go complain.
Yeah.
Why, when the black character shows up, Waterfalls has to be playing?
No. When she was
no,
there,
no,
it was the...
when they find her on her farm working on her plane, Waterfalls
no, it
is
was
playing.
Not. Waterfalls was playing when they were driving,
well,
when
was...
her and Nick were driving. No, when it was that that Desiree song, you gotta be good, you gotta
was
be strong.
It? I, didn't,
gotta
I thought
be
it
taller.
Was Waterfalls.
No.
Well, maybe I just got aggravated because I
yeah,
heard Waterfalls.
Now, you did hear Waterfalls. It was when her and Nick were driving
Why
to NATO
or whatever. Why did there
have
to be a song during the fight scene? Why did we have to play I'm Just a Girl during the fight scene?
I'm not going to lie. I kind of like that.
That was
but...
stupid. That was stupid. That was stupid.
I was like, all right, I can. Well, one, I love No Doubt.
Yeah,
and,
well,
and two,
I don't
it's
hate
like,
No Doubt, but
that's
I'm like,
a, that's a, it's a jamming song that's
like,
fun to
why?
Jump around to. So,
why?
All right.
She's wearing a Guns N' Roses shirt in the damn flashbacks.
Okay.
Why wasn't a Guns N' Roses song in the movie?
This is where I'm getting into the music side of this.
Yeah.
Okay. She's wearing a Guns N' Roses shirt that you can go get at Target right now.
Yeah.
That shirt had never been worn until that scene. If she's into Guns N' Roses and she's in the military, that shirt has got like holes in it.
Yeah.
It looks dirty. It's got
sure,
a stain
yeah,
from like fixing her jet. Like,
everything
this
was
movie was
too
so
pristinely
it was so
pretty,
sterilized.
Yeah,
this movie
it was
sterilized. And again, like, I don't have a huge problem with that. My bigger problem is like, okay, did she disappear in 1989 or 1986?
89 is what it sounded like.
Okay.
She was gone for 6 years.
She was
so
gone
she
for 6 years.
In 95.
And 95. So, you know, there's just certain things. Like when she walks into spoilers, when she walks into the Supreme Intelligence at the end, right? And she starts playing Come As You Are.
Yeah.
Neither one of them know that song
right,
from her subconscious.
Yeah.
Because she's never, ever
right,
heard it.
That's what I'm saying.
All right. Now, I'm nitpicking about music.
Well,
I'm not nitpicking about performances or anything like that yet.
Literally, like, the music throughout this movie was, like...
It was nostalgia. It was
pulled,
just a nostalgia
fest. It pulled me out of the movie.
So,
it pulled me out of the movie.
Yeah, where do I have it? Yeah, there's another thing. So, I thought...
Brie Larson pulled me out of the movie, too.
I thought, well, Annette Bening really pulled me out because she was the first few times we saw her,
yeah,
she was like super wooden.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
it was like, come on, Annette, you're better than this. And then that last scene where Come As You Are was playing, like, why didn't we not see that version of her being all smarmy and like
yeah,
cocky and stuff like that? Like, that's what the Supreme Intelligence is. And
why didn't it just show the Supreme Intelligence as a giant green blob?
Well,
thing?
Then it would have been too much like Green Lantern.
Supreme Intelligence looks like that.
Well, I get that, but so.
And that wouldn't have mattered.
So yeah. Anyway, I thought they spent way too much time on the amnesia thing. The entire first half of the movie was too much.
There was no mystery to it, though. So, we've seen it all in the preview because they gave it all away in the preview.
I thought Maria was a more interesting character
with movies now is somebody needs to edit previews better.
That's the marketing department. Blame the marketing department. They're the ones who go and do that.
But let's see. You know what? It's partially the director and the producer's fault too, because they see it before they let it go out.
Right.
And I'd be like, no, no, don't put that in there.
Right.
Like, literally, don't give my movie away in the 2-minute preview.
So this is why I don't watch previews. Because I didn't see, I saw the first preview and that was
it. That was the only preview.
So,
and it was the preview that gave everything away.
Well, I only watched it once. I'm also like, I rewatched the first Endgame trailer a couple times, but like,
there's nothing in that.
Nothing. And apparently the rumor is the anything that they're showing is only from the first 15 minutes of the movie. So
fair enough.
Cool.
So that should be every movie.
Agreed. So.
So I can't sit there and go, oh, damn, I seen this in the preview.
Yeah. Or I didn't. So where is this scene?
Well, and it's like, you know, who's the obvious bad guys in this movie? Oh, I wonder. The Kree. Because we already knew they were bad guys because we've seen them in Guardians of the Galaxy as bad guys.
I will say Ben Mendelsohn was awesome.
Yeah.
I love Ben Mendelsohn.
He's good in everything I've seen.
I'm a Ben Mendelsohn just fanboy. So. Yeah. I love Ms. Krennic. Krennic is my favorite character in
Krennic's
Rogue
an
One.
Awesome Empire villain. I liked him in Ready Player One.
S. Sorensen. Did you see Bloodline on Netflix?
I watched the first episode.
Well, he's in the first season. Yeah. I love him in the first season. He's in the second season too, but spoilers. I was really thrown off by Annette Bening, not the fact that she was Mar-Vell, just I expect her to be awesome whenever I see her.
But she only had like 15 minutes.
Maria Rambeau was only in the movie for 15 minutes, and she made the most of it.
The problem with Marvel is now, because they've cast a few older actors now,
they think they have to get an older actor
that's going to just blow the hell out of it. You know, it's like, you know, I'm surprised Harrison Ford hasn't shown up yet.
Wow. He's so curmudgeon-y.
Wow. Like, yeah, you would show up as a curmudgeon-y S.H.I.E.L.D. agent.
Yeah, maybe. I thought it was really interesting that Yon Rogg had Captain Mar-Vell's backstory.
Pretty much, yeah.
Except for the fact that he wasn't Captain Mar-Vell.
Right.
That was very interesting. The goose as the Flerken was funny. You know, it's a cat, but gag went on.
It was funny, but
it went on
too much. And the thing with the eye.
Yeah.
With Fury's eye.
Yeah, that was kind of.
That's really? That's how you lost your eye?
Well, Robert Redford said he was with Fury when he lost his eye in Winter Soldier.
Oh, I'm like, so whatever, you know. All right.
So my next
That's the thing. Stories about Fury are just stories.
Yeah.
You know.
So I'm doing my gripes. So I'm going to talk positive about this after these gripes. But
is there a positive?
There is. So the Tesseract. One, it was kind of dumb. It totally took me out of the movie for a minute because I was thinking, okay, between Captain America.
There?
Exactly. Like, I could have swore.
So I figured out how that got there, and then I went online and somebody had wrote an article about it. How it got there was Howard Stark found it at the end of First Avengers.
Yes.
So he found it. He worked for the United States military.
Right.
Mar-Vell comes to Earth and pretends to be the scientist. 50 years later, knows that it's there.
Okay.
Knows that it's there because it's in, you know,
it's
the vault
in the Ark
with
the Covenant.
Ark and it's with the Ark and all the other stuff. And just goes, can I use that? Because that's a power source that I could use to power this engine that I'm planning on doing. And the U.S. government's like, well, yeah, sure. We'll give you something that almost destroyed the planet and burnt through metal and landed in the ocean and killed our best soldier.
Right. So,
because at that point
nobody knows he's alive.
He died.
All right, the last like Carol thing is at the end of the movie when she's like wishing bon voyage to the Skrulls.
Yeah,
where's her helmet? Why is her helmet not on? Can she all of a sudden breathe in space?
Yes,
they did not set that up.
She's super,
because in
she's
the comp, but in the comic she has to wear the helmet when she's in space.
I know.
Anyway, all right, and then the very last thing I did enjoy
Warbird
the swerve.
And Binary didn't have to though.
Yeah,
so,
I get that.
You know.
I enjoy the swerve about the Skrulls and the Kree, but like being a comic book fan, I knew what was happening there.
What
and
do you mean?
That the Skrulls were not the bad guys in this situation. However, I do feel like they set up tremendously for Secret Invasion with this movie.
Like, there's probably like Skrulls that do hate everybody.
Oh yeah, because you have
that,
to remember
Talos is one of the not hardliners,
right?
But there are hardliners, right? Because they've been hunted down by the Kree,
right?
They'll be the Taliban of the Marvel universe.
Well, and if you remember, they were looking for a home, and they decide Earth is great. We want this.
Yeah.
We can look like these people.
Right.
And we can just start getting rid of them slowly.
Sure,
and
yeah.
That's
just
what
make them
Secret
disappear.
Invasion is. So,
but that's where they gave away that Talos wasn't as bad as some of the other ones, because they mentioned that they found Fury's boss tied up in his office.
Right.
I mean, you know, it's like, so, okay.
All right.
Sure.
So, I really thought Sam Jackson's de-aging was awesome.
Yeah, they did that really
great.
Well. Coulson looked cool, too.
Coulson's wasn't as good. There was a little
uncanny
valley. Because
they had to do the hair the way they did it. And I'm like, why couldn't he have had like maybe like a little bit shaggier hair?
I feel like they could have done him with the practical makeup like they did with Kurt Russell in Guardians 2.
Sure, yeah.
Because, I mean, he's fit.
And he's not even in there for like 10 minutes.
Yeah, but I thought that was great. And there were times where I wondered, would this scene be better without Brie Larson? Almost exclusively when Maria was on the stage.
So there's parts in there where I'm like, did she just phone it in that movie?
I don't know.
Every scene she's in with Samuel L. Jackson, he carries her to the point that she's good. But I'm like, even in Kong, where she only had like maybe 25 minutes of real screen time.
She's great in Kong.
She's great in Kong.
She's great in Room.
I've
like,
not
you know,
seen Room. I've seen her in Scott Pilgrim.
She's
and I've
great
seen
in
her,
Scott
yeah,
Pilgrim.
She's
I mean, as Ivy, she's
I'm like,
awesome.
But I'm like, in this, I was like, did she get bored? Like, literally, there was a part where in my head, I'm sitting there watching this movie going, is she bored? Because I'm bored. Because you're not putting on a performance that makes me feel like you want to be there.
So I liked her.
And it's nothing against her because of the whole whatever the controversy was with.
I don't care about
you know,
that.
You guys
so,
mentioned it, and
yeah.
I'm like, what? Like,
yeah.
You know, the thread mentioned it, and I'm like,
right.
Huh? What?
So I liked her at the beginning of this movie. I thought when she was Veers and she was training and she's like, want to fight? That was great. Like, her interactions.
The perkiness she had.
Yeah.
And it's another thing. Jude Law carried her in that scene.
I don't think. So I'm going to disagree with you for a sec. I don't think either Sam Jackson or Jude Law carried her. I think they all had that. She had really good chemistry with the two of them,
which means they carried her. Well, yeah.
No, because if you watch her in any of
the scenes where she's by herself or she's fighting a Skrull by herself, and that you could have put anybody in there.
Well, that's why I asked the question. Like, there are times where it's like, does Captain Marvel need to be in this scene?
Right. So and you're saying the same thing I'm saying.
But I'm not. I don't believe that those two carried her. She held her weight in those scenes and then some. Because when they were going into the secret military underground base,
Shield.
You know, Shield. She was really good. And, you know, this movie's going to get a lot of comparisons to Wonder Woman. Is this better than Wonder Woman or not?
How?
Well, no, not the,
how
as,
do you
not
even compare
because
these
it's
two?
Because it's the, you know, and this is unfair, but it's because it's two female led superhero movies. So, of course, they're going to get compared. They're two entirely different movies.
Yeah.
And, you know,
there was just points where she like came off as, you know, she didn't want to be there. She was bored.
It's very reminiscent of Natalie Portman in Thor: The Dark World at times.
Yeah,
not for the entire stretch of the movie,
well, right.
Like Thor: The Dark World, but there are times I loved. Love is a strong word. I really, really enjoyed the end of this movie. I really enjoyed the final act.
I didn't have a problem with that because I thought that like when she's in action,
yeah,
and when she's not having to do anything that involves real thinking, like just blowing shit up,
yeah,
she's fine. She's able to like
watching her
punch and throw stuff
when they
that.
When breaks
she finally,
free,
yeah,
and
her
watching
collar off.
Watching the leash come off and like watching her learn the powers, like the full power that she has was so much fun. And you know,
but anybody could have done that.
That's true. But the other thing is I'm really hoping nobody calls this particular character a Mary Sue, because she's not. Just like Rey, she spent a ton of time training for other things that when you have this enhancement, you're going to naturally understand how to do it. And when she shot herself backwards, it was so reminiscent of what Robert Downey Jr. did when he first filed the repulsor. And I know it was intentional.
Yeah.
Like, that's what they wanted us to think. But
why do that?
Because they want her to be the new Tony Stark. They want her.
She is not.
They want her to be the focal point of the MCU for the foreseeable future.
She doesn't have the charisma to do it. She doesn't have the ego that Robert Downey Jr. has that carries that character. Robert Downey Jr. is playing himself, playing Tony Stark.
Right.
He's been a drug addict. He's been a drunk.
He's had all sorts of issues.
Yeah,
if you remember, he was uninsurable.
Right.
He could not get cast in movies because they would not insure him.
Right.
Okay, that's great. Bree does not have that. Bree has had nothing but success. I can't think of a bad Brie Larson.
The problem
movie.
With that is that it made the performance in this movie bad. Because did she win an Academy Award or she was nominated?
Yeah, she won for Room.
So she won an Academy Award. So that's where Marvel goes wrong with that. Because we're like, we're going to cast an Academy Award winning actress because she was good in that movie. Movie is a movie about a girl who gets kidnapped and put into a basement.
Yeah.
There's no comparison to Captain Marvel.
No.
I really like now looking at it. The one that I wanted was Katie Sackhoff. And I think she would have been good. But everybody else is saying Catherine Winnick from Vikings. And I look at her and I'm like, she would actually probably been really good.
Lagatha.
Yeah, that's the blonde haired.
Yeah, Lagatha. Yeah. Yeah, I could see that.
Yeah. And I'm like, and it's not people who are hating women, because it's just people in general, like, you know, people who are movie fans were like, she probably would have been really good in this movie.
Okay, so I don't disagree with you.
Brie Larson brought the movie down to what I ranked it at.
Okay.
She's what brought it down.
I feel like I'm going to carefully word this.
Yeah.
So, because I don't think you're being overly harsh, I feel like there's something happening with the way you're looking at the movie, with your perception of it, because I got that at parts, but I did not get that for like long stretches of time.
I didn't get it for long stretches of time, but what I'm saying is any scene where she was not with one of the major movie stars that was in the movie with her, because I don't feel like she's a major movie star. She's done a lot of movies. She won an Academy Award. You know what? Anna Paquin won an Academy Award when she was like 9 years old. She's okay.
Yeah.
She's not a great actress, but she's
okay. But she brings passion to her roles. She
But that's what I felt like was missing.
There wasn't. It was that charisma. There was an aloofness.
It's that charisma.
Yeah. Okay.
Because even like Robert Downey Jr. in the first one, phoned it in on a few times, but like still like made that movie what it was. I don't feel like she made this movie what it was. I feel like the whole cast did it. So, and I'm like, if she's supposed to be the next generation, then she should have had this movie where I was like, damn, she was good. Damn, she sold this movie. She did not sell this movie. Sam Jackson sold this movie. Ben Mendelsohn sold this movie. I'm sorry. They sold the movie. They're the ones that like had the best parts in this movie.
I'm going to go with Lashana Lynch sold this movie too.
Lashana Lynch was good.
I really enjoyed her.
She, like, at times for
like
her,
when she was
like,
flying the Quinjet, that was awesome.
Well, yeah,
you know,
she was cool in the parts where it's like she had to be cool.
Yeah.
But other parts, she still came off like when her and Brie Larson interacting was like, you guys are supposed to be like lifelong friends. And it don't feel that way.
So
Brie Larson had better interaction with her kid than she did with her best friend.
I get that. Yeah, so at the same time, though, like, remember, she disappeared.
She thought she
was dead.
Right? Yeah.
Like, although it's a little weird that you hang on to your friend's stuff after 6 years who's been dead. But
no, it's in cold storage.
The other weird thing is I know
the jacket. I could understand. If she had the other stuff, I was like, well, you know.
That's a little strange. But, like, I have a kid who she's now almost 12.
Yeah.
So if you would have disappeared when she was six and you showed up today, you know what she would say?
Who's that?
Who are you?
Yeah. Who are you?
That was a weird thing for me. Yeah. So,
but the literal interaction between them as actors.
I'm blaming the directors for this, for some of what you're talking about, because they're indie directors, right. Which is great. And you know, the movies they've done are good, but they needed to bring a different level of excitement to some of these scenes that are pseudo mundane, yeah. Like, you know, going through your old stuff,
sure.
and you know, finding new things. Let me put it this way.
If Marvel was doing this where they wanted a female director and a male director, because they're a team, right?
So.
But you wanted a female name on that movie.
Yeah.
There are a lot of good female directors, TV and movie, yeah. Female directors that you probably could have got one of them and you probably would have got a little bit better of a movie.
I mean, okay. So could you imagine Kathryn Bigelow directing this movie?
No. But I'm talking like, you know, I know.
Well, I'm saying that she's the gold standard, right? She's won the Oscar for directing.
But the thing is if they wanted to go with, like, you know, somebody who wasn't a high paid director, because they would have had to pay her. That budget would have went over, like, Roxanne Dawson,
yeah,
who played Belana Torres on Voyager, has directed so much TV now that she could probably direct a movie.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm like, and bring more to it.
Okay.
She's dealt with the special effects, which, you know, they kind of had trouble with that, and you could tell they did. She's dealt with a lot of strong female characters, mm-hmm. you know, directing Star Trek Voyager and all other Star Treks. And I'm like, why didn't you look at somebody that, you know, I would have been fine with a female director, like just a female director.
Right.
And been somebody that would have brought more to it.
I don't know,
like,
man.
These people I hadn't even heard of until this movie.
Right.
And
well,
I'm like,
you and everybody else, I had to look them up.
Right,
I mean,
yeah.
Like,
I had to look them up.
And then I went and I checked out some of their stuff.
But it's all short documentary stuff.
It's super,
like,
long.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'm sorry,
but Jon Favreau directed a lot of good movies before he directed Iron Man.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, most of the people that have directed movies,
I mean,
for Marvel, have directed something where it's like,
let's, if it's an independent. Let's take the Russos for an example, right? Yeah. So they did Arrested Development.
Yeah.
They did Happy Endings. You know, they were really into the TV stuff, and they've done movies and things like that. But, like, they brought a vision to this that I felt to the MCU that, you know, not everybody has.
Yeah.
So, like, they fixed a lot of the things that Joss Whedon got wrong.
They need to look at TV directors for some of these movies now, and maybe that's where the gold is, because the Russo, every movie that the Russo's done for Marvel has rocked.
So, okay, I haven't answered this question. I just want to see if you have the same answer. Why are TV directors better for the MCU?
Because they need to work fast and work hard. Literally, you film an episode of TV in 7 days.
Okay. I was looking for a different answer, but...
Well, what's your
answer? You're right. Because television is sequential storytelling.
Well, yeah, that too.
Just like
a
comic book. So when you have people who understand sequential storytelling, they can...
Because these movies fall in a sequential order?
They can pull the characters in.
Right.
And you don't miss a beat. That's why James Gunn's version of the Guardians of the Galaxy are very distinct.
Right.
When they came into Infinity War, did you notice a marked difference in who was directing them?
Yeah, you can notice a difference.
But are they totally different characters?
No.
Exactly.
They're not. Right.
They are. It was Star-Lord is Star-Lord is Star-Lord from the three movies he's been in. You know, the same with Gamora. Gamora was so awesome.
Yeah, the
in
Russos
Infinity
did
War.
A good job.
The Russos know what they're doing when it comes to this stuff.
Yeah.
So, you know, at the end of the day, you're right. They need to start looking to TV directors as they're moving into further phases, because, you know, Favreau's not coming back.
Well,
he's
that's the thing.
Off,
like,
making his own thing. The Russos are going to be done soon.
On the site, right? So the one reaction I get on that list, and it's my bottom has never changed. My bottom will never change for Marvel.
No, your bottom
Age
doesn't
of
ever
Ultron,
change, does it?
Age of Ultron was the worst for me.
Yeah.
There's a reason, because they ruined the character of Ultron.
We're on the same page with Age of Ultron. So,
I mean, it's not a terrible movie. None of these movies are bad to me. I just ranked them in order of what I like most to what I like least.
Okay, so your bottom five.
Yeah.
Are Ant-Man.
Yeah.
Guardians Volume 2.
Yes.
Iron Man 3.
Okay.
Incredible Hulk.
Yep.
And Avengers Age of Ultron.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. My bottom five are Thor the Dark World, Iron Man 3, The Incredible Hulk, Iron Man 2, and Age of Ultron.
Right. And that's the thing. But we have different reasons. The one I get the most questions about is Dark World.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Why do I rank Dark World higher than Age of Ultron? Because it was a good movie that was told sequentially by a guy who directed episodes of Game of Thrones.
And who stepped in to a really messy situation.
Yeah,
let's not like discount the set that he had to deal with. So, I mean, that being said, your Thor of the Dark World is your number six from the bottom. So, yeah. I mean, it's not like you have it up near the top.
It's not like it's flying up in the top.
I mean, your Captain Marvel is what, 15th?
13, I think. I think that's how I numbered it.
13, yeah. And I have it at 10. For me, it's 10.
Right, yeah.
I look at this movie. Okay.
It's middle of the road.
I look at it as the top of the middle of the road. Right. I like this movie better than Black Panther. I like this movie better than Doctor Strange. Let me look at it here. I liked this movie better than Guardians Volume 2.
That movie just...
Anyway.
The way people talk about Thor the Dark World is how I feel about Guardians of the Galaxy 2.
Okay.
Because I'm just like, there's stuff in there where I'm just like, that's just disappointing.
I mean, Guardians Volume 2 is number 13 for me.
Yeah.
So, Black Panther...
But I still enjoy it. That's the thing, is like, people look at my list and they're like, oh my God, does he hate these movies? No, I just hate Age of Ultron. I just hate Age of Ultron.
I mean...
But I've still watched Age of Ultron a few times. And there's stuff in it that I'm like, that's cool. Yeah. I like that part. But on the whole, the movie is named Age of Ultron, and Ultron sucks so bad.
I mean, you have Avengers as your top one.
This year.
And Avengers is my sixth month, from the bottom, right?
Yeah.
Like, I went back and rewatched it, and it fell down a notch. Yeah. You know, it's one of those things. And part of that is just me and the mental relationship I have with Joss Whedon's films at the moment.
Oh, well, and see, that one to me doesn't feel like a Joss Whedon film.
Well, because Jon Favreau was still involved with the creative process for the MCU. He hadn't gone off to do Jungle Book yet.
Yeah.
Anyway.
And now Lion King.
All right. We're getting totally off topic of Captain Marvel. We're not really, though.
Because it's the Marvel. It's what the future of the Marvel Universe can be.
Okay. I will say.
So I want to see how the Russos direct her.
Yeah.
I want to see if my opinion of her is just because of these directors.
Right.
Because I feel like it is.
Right.
It's nothing against you, Brie Larson. Don't be mad at me because I'm white and I'm 40 something.
God, you are old, aren't you?
I am.
I'm teasing.
But the thing is, if they directed her that badly, they don't ever need to touch a Marvel movie.
No. I don't want them on the sequel.
I feel like they did. I really feel like they might have done that. Like, she, at certain points, it's like she stands there and it's like, I feel like she's looking at the camera going, like yawning, because it's like, I don't know what they want me to do.
They need a high energy director who's going to come in and have a fun set, an interactive set, you know.
Like, every time that Sam Jackson walks into a scene with her, she brightens up.
So, she's directing a movie that's coming out this year, and Sam Jackson is in it.
Brie Larson?
Yeah.
She's directing a movie?
Yeah.
Okay,
and then her and Sam Jackson in Kong. Well, they had that chemistry coming in.
Yeah.
So, I will say this.
But even when she's in scenes with Jude Law, it's like, you can tell that she's more relaxed.
Yeah.
She's less standoffish.
Her scenes with Minerva were really good.
Yeah.
Like... You know,
I would have liked to see more interaction with that.
I wanted to see why they were rivals, why they didn't like each other.
They did a bunch. Yeah, so. Because there was supposed to be a scene with Ronan.
Yeah.
That was when they were getting ready to go on their mission, where Ronan and them all were supposed to be interacting with each other. And where was that? We don't see Ronan
a hologram
really until the end. And yeah, the Darth Maul hologram.
So I think one, the first mistake they made was putting this back in the 90s.
Yeah.
All right.
The mistake was not putting it in the 90s. The mistake was it's in the 90s, but you don't acknowledge that the character grew up in the 80s.
Right.
That character is older than me.
Right. She's listening to Guns N' Roses.
Right.
She's listening to the David Lee Roth version of Van Halen.
Yeah.
She might be listening to Rat.
Yeah.
You know, there's
the thing, when
she's probably into Metallica, getting into Metallica at that point. She's probably got a black flag tattoo. You know, it's like,
it's like, why didn't you like throw some Star Wars reference in there?
Yeah.
Because she would have seen Star Wars.
She definitely.
I did like that the youngest version, or the younger version of her, is the girl who played Chris Evans' niece in that movie.
Right. The Gifted.
Yeah. The one who was on the House of Haunted Hill also. But I'm like,
oh, I see. I still haven't watched House of Haunted Hill.
Yeah. She's in that too.
Or Haunting of Hill House.
Hill House. Yeah. She's good. She's good in that too. But like, I like that now she's part of the Marvel Universe. Cool. Now we just need Octavia Spencer. She would be awesome in there.
She has to be with Chris Evans though. Like,
yeah,
her chemistry with Chris Evans is amazing.
Yeah,
in that
but
movie.
He's dead Gifted. After he's dead after this movie.
Oh, maybe Bucky can channel his inner Chris Evans. Anywho,
she'd be good if. Oh man, that would be awesome. Like if they recast Amanda Waller in the Suicide Squad. Too.
Oh yeah,
she'd
would
be
awesome.
Great.
Yeah. Yeah, Viola
James
Davis
Gunn,
isn't
if
getting
you're
it
listening.
Down there. Yeah, you recast Idris Elba as Deadshot, so
that's cool too. I'm cool with that.
Yeah. Okay. So I liked the end.
The end. How are you talking the?
So
from the battle.
No.
Just a girl.
So from the time they were in there, and the science officer like screwed up the thing, and then he's like, "I can fix that." About the Quinjet.
Yeah.
Like from that point on.
Yeah.
I'm all in.
Oh, yeah. I
and,
that,
uh,
because that was probably the most like story in the whole movie.
And then where they lose me in the middle. So I like the beginning from the minute the movie starts. Like I like it. And we get to that like maybe like 45 minute mark where they are looking at the files and things like that.
Her and Fury.
And then that's kind of where like I zone out for a little bit.
That's an understandable part to zone out on.
And then I'm brought back in when they go to Louisiana.
Yeah.
But that being said,
this was like a buddy cop movie where there wasn't really any buddy
cop. But that's what I want. Like, I want them to forget the rest of this, and like I want Brie Larson and Sam Jackson to do a buddy cop movie.
Oh yeah, now
where,
you do. Because...
where he's the Roger Murtaugh, and she's the Martin Riggs.
Oh man, a Lethal Weapon with where she would be playing Riggs.
Exactly.
That would be
cool. And she can be Martina Riggs.
Yeah.
Or whatever. Like they totally would be great. And I don't care that they recast Mar-Vell as a woman. I really don't. That doesn't bother me.
That was just disappointing because I was thinking that Jude Law was going to be Mar-Vell.
And the thing that was disappointing is because he was Mar-Vell.
Yon-Rogg.
In everything but name.
Yon-Rogg.
And so, yeah. At the end of the day, I enjoyed this movie. 7 out of 10. I'm going to see it again, obviously. I want to see more.
Give it like a 6, yeah.
I want to see more with these characters. I want a second movie. There's obviously going to be a second movie. It made its money. It made its money. It broke even in America on the first weekend.
Because
it's a $150 million budget.
But I told you why it did that. It was a Marvel movie.
Well, yeah, it's a Marvel movie. But like, it made It made $50 million more than Wonder Woman's opening weekend.
Okay.
Like,
but
Wonder Woman
came off of Justice League,
I understand that. But we're talking about Captain Marvel, who is a C-list character, versus Wonder Woman, who was a Trinity.
Too.
I think Black Panther is a C-list character to some white people.
No,
I think,
like, you know, he's had a book off and on the same as she has over the years. But, like, in the Avengers?
Sure.
They aren't the first ones you call.
Oh, no, absolutely not. So,
yeah.
Even though she's super OP in the comics right now.
OP?
Overpowered.
Oh, is she?
Yeah. I mean, Iron Man in the MCU is the most OP character ever.
Yeah.
And it kind of annoys me.
Yeah.
So, I'm interested to see
too hard to be the movies at this point.
Well, I'm interested to see what her power set turns into. I liked her in the role. I thought she was good. I don't think I would have liked this as much with Katie Sackhoff.
Like I said, it was the directing of her that probably ruined her in this movie.
I think Lagatha would have been awesome, but like as Miss Marvel to start with the domino mask
and everything.
Well, that
totally should have been what this should have been.
I understand why they didn't do the Miss Marvel thing. I understand.
Yeah.
Now, here's the thing.
It's the thing where...
The third Captain Marvel movie?
The third.
Just hear me out. So there's going to be a second Captain Marvel movie.
There better not be a third.
No, the third Captain Marvel movie, if there is one, is where they introduce the X-Men.
No.
And Rogue takes her powers.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah, just like in the comics.
No, because yeah. if you're going to do that, Rogue was not part of the X-Men when
no,
she took her powers.
No, she was part of the Brotherhood.
Right.
Rogue is a bad guy to start.
So she's in Captain Marvel 2.
There you go, whatever.
Yeah.
But she takes her powers at some point, and then maybe the third movie is the whole, like, fallout of that, you know? So
where it's not a Captain Marvel movie because she doesn't have her powers.
Right. Anyway, but...
The fallout would be she'd be in a coma.
Yeah.
Yeah, because she was in a coma.
That'd be an interesting movie.
Where it's not a Captain Marvel, where Fury's like, we got to figure out how to get her out of a coma. I'm going to have to go into her brain. Get the Supreme Intelligence in here.
Or get that thing from S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, wait. She destroyed the Supreme Intelligence.
Did she?
No, she didn't. So,
all right.
Now, the Kree Empire still.
Yeah.
But I understand if she's going and fighting the Kree, I can understand by Guardians of the Galaxy why they've signed a peace treaty with the Nova Corps.
Right.
Because she's kicked the shit out of them at yeah. that point. So.
Yep.
And they're still mad about it.
Oh, yeah. Do you think she's part of the Nova Corps?
No. Nope, she's just somebody flying around. She's going to go save Tony Stark.
The Carol Corps. Yeah, well, she's totally saving
she's
Tony
totally
Stark.
She's totally like... They're going to be like, well, Tony left. He's off the planet.
We need Tony.
And we need Tony to do build stuff for us.
Yep.
Because Ant-Man's got the power to travel in time, but we don't have the flux capacitor and that. And Dr. Brown disappeared with everybody else.
Yeah.
So can you go find Tony? She'll be like, I'll be right back.
I'll be right back. Hold on.
Yeah, because she, like, appears out of nowhere.
Yeah.
And I'm like...
All right, let's talk about the end credit scenes.
You don't have to stay until the very end.
Oh, okay, here's what happens at the very end. Goose.
Does what a cat does.
Harks up the Tesseract on Fury's desk.
Could have harked up his eye, too. That way, you know...
Well, he didn't eat his eye. He just scratched it.
That is the All stupidest right. explanation for why he lost his
eye. It was
eye.
So dumb. It was so incredibly dumb.
I'm like, really? So.
Well, and because he's like, oh, it's just a scratch, I'll be fine. And then Ben Mendelsohn's like, will you?
No, you won't.
Yeah.
No, you won't.
I love the little, like, under his breath, little sarcastic things. Like, you know, he really liked it.
He didn't like the flirking at all.
Oh, no. No. And then, but, like, her showing up with the pager and everything, like, I really.
One, I like that you know that it takes place, okay. like,
so
directly after Infinity
we get
War.
The we get the idea because the Russos directed that scene, so.
Well, yeah.
But she was like, where's Fury?
Yeah.
Like, Nicholas. Where's Nicholas?
No. She knows him as only Fury.
Yeah.
I'm like, wait a minute. Nobody else calls you just Fury.
Okay, so I'm 7 out of 10. You're 6 out of 10.
Yeah, I'm 6 out of 10.
I
didn't hate the movie, but I didn't like the
I'm
movie.
Definitely going to see this movie again.
I'll see it when it comes out. I'll buy it when it comes out. It wasn't that bad.
Yeah.
Hopefully, like, you know, this is one like Ant-Man where I... was okay with Ant-Man when I seen it in the theater.
Yeah.
I liked it more when I seen it at home.
I love the first
Ant-Man
movie.
And there was
Ant-Man
nobody
movie.
In the theater to really, like, upset me on right. On that
There
level,
was a baby in my movie
oh,
theater.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. Yay. And then the shitty kid at the letting me in wouldn't let me bring my Starbucks tea in.
Oh, okay.
And it's like, dude, I was here a week ago and someone had KFC.
Really?
Like, yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, and then he's like, well, I'm good at my job. They're not. I'm like, yeah, your job's hospitality.
Wow.
Douche.
Wow.
So I threw it away.
It's Regal.
I was like, what? Regal. No, I didn't do the Regal. I was at Liberty.
Oh, well.
So.
What, at AMC?
Yeah. No, the
or
Liberty.
Or you went to
Town
Cobb?
Center. Yeah, Cobb.
Oh, well.
So.
You know.
I like that screen, that auditorium.
I've never
15.
Been in that one. I was in the eating
oh,
one.
I don't like the eating one at all. So yeah. People walk around and are ordering. I'm very particular.
People walk
you
around?
Know that. The waiters and stuff.
They didn't walk around once the movie was playing.
No, they do now. They changed it where
oh,
like
really?
Up and like last call's out until like 45 minutes into the movie.
Wow.
Yeah, so
okay.
Yeah, no,
well,
I'm
good with paying $5 and seeing in the original stadium.
It was like
seating.
I mean I have like Fandango gift cards and
I
stuff.
I have gift
so,
cards
yeah,
for Regal but, that you know.
Oh, I have 100,000 points to Regal that I'll never ever use.
Yeah.
So
they've just kind of gone downhill.
Yeah, it's garbage theater.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Their screens are dirty.
Yep. You're right.
Your screens get dirty. You might want to run a vacuum over
it. Yeah, just vacuum it.
Yeah.
Maybe spray it down with a hose.
I'll get you a case of Swiffer. I'll go buy it for you, and you can Swiffer the screen.
Yeah.
And just let me come see the movie for free.
All right.
No, I'm talking about a theater that's probably going on 25 or 30 years old now.
Oh, yeah.
That's
still
quality.
I saw.
You've seen two movies there.
I've seen two movies there this year.
And you're like, your $5 movie theater is actually like.
I never told you that it wasn't a good theater.
But now it's it's a good theater.
Here's the thing, though. I like picking out my seat so I can roll in as the credits are rolling. As the previews are rolling.
Yeah, I like to walk in and sit down and, get the lay of the land.
All right. Next week, we are doing a comics worth reading. Have you picked a book yet?
No.
Okay.
No, because I knew we were going to talk about this. I probably have a book picked that I had for the last one that I didn't talk about. So
I picked my book for this one. Well, you just do the one, remember?
Right,
just
I
one.
Know.
So, anyway. All right.
Captain Marvel. I'm sorry. The real Captain Marvel.
So Billy Batson.
Yeah. I'm going to go back and dig up all the Fawcett books.
I'm excited for that movie. I don't know
why. I'm curious.
I've only watched the first trailer.
My dread on that movie. So I had dread with this movie.
Yeah.
Because, I knew they were going to tweak things that,
And
the thing with Annette Bening being Marvel was just one of those things where I'm like, really? You couldn't have called her Young Rock?
I just didn't think she did a good job.
She didn't do a good job at all.
So when the come as you are scene.
When she's like the Supreme Intelligence pissed off.
That was cool.
Yeah.
Like, where was this version of her?
I was sitting there going, you should be more like the Borg Queen. Like, be arrogant.
Yeah.
Be more arrogant. Like, the Supreme Intelligence should be an arrogant thing.
Like, she should have her pinky up on her tea glass.
Yeah.
That would
have been funny and gone, this character is not nice.
Maggie Smith should be the Supreme Intelligence.
I was going to say you could have just cast Alice Krieg, who played
the
Borg Queen.
No, but the lady from Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
McGonagall.
Yeah, she would be a great Supreme Intelligence because she does that arrogant, aristocrat better than anybody.
The look.
Yeah.
Just the look.
All right.
With Shazam.
Yeah.
I didn't read a lot with the family version.
Yeah. Okay.
And I'm like, that's kind of scaring me.
The Shazamily?
Yeah, the Shazamily. Yeah, that's a good way of putting it. So I didn't read a lot of that. I read the first couple issues of that, I think.
So,
and it kind of lost me.
Are they doing the new 52?
Yeah.
Okay.
So you haven't seen the action figures.
No.
So I've seen the action figures. There are literally
There's five of them. Yeah, or seven. Yeah.
Five or
the,
seven
the letters of Shazam. They're each a different letter.
Like the kids.
Yeah.
All the kids are going to be Shazams.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I don't feel good about that.
So
I
want to
see Talky Tawny.
They introduced that version of Captain Marvel as the standalone story at the end of Justice League comics.
During New 52.
Right. Before giving him his own comic. And they were really bad. They were really, really bad.
Really beautifully drawn, but not
lovely,
told.
Lovely, beautiful. Yeah,
very
frank
art, but.
Like, there's a couple of those pages that I would love to have the layouts without the word balloons.
I've seen those figures and I'm like, oh, so we're gonna get the kids and all that.
Maybe
because,
they're just doing
because
it for the
Captain Marvel now is a foster child. Where Captain Marvel that I know that was the Fawcett and the early DC and all that was his uncle.
Right.
His uncle was his foster parent.
Yeah,
and his uncle became a Shazam,
just like Aunt May.
Yeah, kind of.
But
yeah.
He became a superhero.
He became a Shazam. There was Talky Tawny and, that. Billy was Captain Marvel.
Yep.
Freddie was Junior.
Yep.
And Mary was Mary Marvel.
Yep.
And I'm like, I understand why they're doing it, but I'm just like, man, it's like, I seen who's playing his foster dad, though, and I'm like, it's the one guy from The Walking Dead that was playing Ezekiel's right-hand guy. I'm like, okay. Cool.
I hadn't watched at that point, so
he's funny in it. So the parts I seen with him in it, he was funny. So I'm like, I'm hoping that he has some fun parts in the movie.
All right.
And but I'm like, why did you cast Mark Strong, who played Sinestro, to play Sylvania?
And not Black Adam.
Well, they couldn't get The Rock.
The Rock. All right. On that note,
do you think The Rock would have been, I think he would have been a decent Black Adam.
I think he'd be a fine Black Adam, but the problem is The Rock isn't going to lose to Chuck in a fight.
Well, they're not Chuck or The Rock.
Well, you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, I know. But
I mean, but no, I mean, he's not going to, he is contractually not going to do a movie where he's going to put over.
Where he's the villain.
Captain.
Because he don't play villains anymore.
Right. Where he should. Like, you
the
know.
The Rock can play anything. Yeah. Really. So but anyway. he's fallen into the Arnold Schwarzenegger. Yep.
Sylvester Stallone, Bruce Willis. Yeah.
You know, where he's the hero.
Yep.
And that.
Anyway,
they've been posting pictures of Jumanji 2 being filmed.
Oh yeah. And well, David went to. Oh wait, no, that was the other one he did in Hawaii.
Jungle Cruise.
Yeah.
Did he get to go to that?
Yeah.
Oh wow, I didn't know that.
Yeah,
that's cool.
Yeah, he got to go to South by. He's going to be at Celebration though. So.
Okay. Cool.
Oh, by the way, 30 days Celebration. Woohoo!
Is it 30?
Yeah. Okay. It was 31 yesterday. Okay. Well, yesterday it was 31 day.
31 day, and today's 30 day.
Yep. All right, guys. On that note, we'll see you next week.
Yep. We made it an hour.
Woohoo! Higher, faster, later.
What? What?
All right. We'll talk to you guys later.
Higher, faster, what?
3FS Podcast is recorded in Kings Mills, Ohio, just north of Cincinnati. You can find new episodes every Sunday on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Spotify, our website, or anywhere podcasts are downloaded. The show is hosted by Johnny Podorf and me, Brian Tudor. You can find more information about the show online at infamouspodcast.com or follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram as at Infamous Podcast to stay up to date on the latest news about the show and what's going on in the world of comics, movies, TV, and more. We also have a Patreon page, patreon.com/infamouspodcast. We have some great rewards for our patrons, and we're looking for help to grow the show to bring you more of the content you want to hear. You can find Johnny online at Johnny Podorf, and I'm on most social networks as at Brian Tudor. Music in this episode was provided by Michael Henry from meetmichaelhenry.com. So, whenever you're listening to us, have a great day, night, evening, weekend, whenever it is, and we'll see you next time. Thanks for listening. Later.